There is a new book out. It was written by ESPN, the magazine's senior writer, Howard Bryant. The name of the book is Full Dissidence, Notes from an Uneven Playing Field. Howard is with us this morning. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Very glad to have you here. Why is this book important more than ever now?
Well, I feel like, for me at least, when you work on projects, you deal with what you feel is happening around you. And for me, it feels like a lot of important concepts are slipping away. And it feels to me, obviously, we are going through something that we haven't gone through but two other times in history. There's an impeachment taking place right now. If you look at what's taking place in terms of wealth inequality, it feels like the middle class, especially in San Francisco and the Bay Area, things are so expensive, things are slipping away as well. And I think that also, I think for me, in thinking about it in terms of sports, we also talk so much about sports being neutral or wanting our sports to be neutral, and our sports are anything but. So I felt like there were different areas where there were different fractures along the country, and I just simply wanted to explore them.
Yeah, talk about the similarities between what's happening in Washington, D.C. and across the country and what's happening on the field and the uneven playing field, as you call it. When did the shift begin, or is it just an expansion of something that has existed all along?
Well, certainly I think it's the latter, and I think that what I saw mirroring each other was sort of the certain types of authority figures in sports. When you think about, especially once again up in the Bay, you've got what Colin Kaepernick started.
Yep.
Very polarizing, and I understood the battles that were taking place there, but I also understood the hypocrisy that was taking place, where you have military and you've got police and you've got F-14 flyovers, and you have all kinds of different political things taking place on the sporting field, where you're asking yourself, okay, is this actually an apolitical space? And it's far from that. Post 9/11, sports are incredibly hostile when it comes to selling a certain political belief. And so I sort of thought, okay, on the one hand, this isn't supposed to be political, but if it's not supposed to be political, why are there jets flying across the field?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to explore that. And I also sort of felt, too, this is a very, very difficult time in terms of where we are as a country. And I thought that I also began thinking about it in terms of from my last book, The Heritage. I was really talking about how much power these athletes had. Where you see LeBron James getting involved in social causes. You see Megan Rapinoe get involved in social causes. But then I also started to ask myself the flip side question. How much power do you really have if you risk losing everything? If you get blackballed simply by taking a position, do you actually really have power, or do you simply have a lot of money?
It's a very good question indeed. And what do you make of the fact that Colin Kaepernick can't get a job?
Well, I think that there's always somebody out there, and we see this over time, who is made the example of. He's the example. His best friend, Eric Reed, still takes a knee every game, as does Kenny Stills over at the Houston Texans. There are players who still take on the cause that he started, but the NFL has made sure that he's not going to work. And I think it says a few things. I think the first thing it says is that we give the owners and we give fans, we give everyone a free pass, because they're not blackballing Colin Kaepernick for any other reason than he disagrees. They disagree with his politics, so they have their own politics, but we only talk about his. I think it's also somewhat chilling as well when we think about what this actually means, that we're okay with it, that the public has been all right with it. And I think we focus so much on Kaepernick as the person, yes, no, whether we agree with him or not, instead of thinking about the principle. Is this who we are? Do we take away people's livelihoods because we disagree with their positions?
Yeah, very good question. Many, many questions surround the idea behind your book and your book itself. And would you agree, Howard, that even though patriotism has run through the fabric of sports forever, that after 9/11, that the distinguishing features between sports and politics have dulled considerably, that they are intrinsically intertwined now?
I would, and that's one of the things that gives me pause, and I think that's where, when we talk about where we are as a country and what this sort of full dissident moment is, the phrase really kind of speaks to being very worried about where we are as a country in a lot of those ways. And one of the things is that, yes, it feels different. Does it feel the same pre-9/11 as it does now? No, it feels different, and part of the reason why it feels different, too, is because of the marketing involved. Are we really looking at our sports as being these great places for patriotism, or are they selling a lot of jerseys with a lot of camo on them? You know, that's really what we're also talking about. And then also I felt too, are we asking our sports fans, on the one hand, you want to go to the game and you want to have a good time, but on the other hand, why are you also being asked to genuflect toward police? Why are you being asked to do these things? What I really want people to do, if they look at this book, is to just look at the images that are being sold to us on the field. This is a time of war. We're on the been fighting two countries for the past 20 years, and who knows, we may be fighting with Iran pretty soon as well. And if sports are neutral, why is that so much embedded into the game as well? I think it's important to see what these gigantic corporations and also what our governments are trying to sell us while also telling us to be quiet, or we get branded as being unpatriotic.
And talk, Howard, for a minute about the athletes that that you've come across, that you've done research on or spoken to, who you think are the most successful at marrying the two parts, creating an impact on the field and having an impact off the field.
Well, I think a lot of players do it in very quiet ways, and I think it's very clear as well that there's a difference between raising money for humanitarian causes and also taking a political position. Obviously, Megan Rapinoe is extremely political in her positions in terms of trying to, and when I say political, I mean advocating for a position. It doesn't mean Republican or Democrat. It means I'm trying to change something. And I would like people to listen to me because I have a massive platform. Obviously, LeBron James has got as much influence as anybody. I think that there are a lot of players out there who are afraid of the word politics because it feels like a negative word when actually it's not. I actually feel like you look at the fires that are taking place right now in Australia, and it's interesting to me that you have a bunch of players out there who are raising money for relief of the fires, but nobody's actually lending their name to a discussion about climate change.
Yeah.
So it's almost on the one hand, you can bring the Band-Aid, but you can't prevent the wound.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good point. And it's interesting, too, even Sunday night at the Screen Actors Guild Awards, Robert De Niro, who's been in that business for, 50 years or so, when accepting his Lifetime Achievement Award, is still explaining why he has the right to his political opinion and why he has, you know, the right to state such publicly. Same circumstance, it seems, as athletes.
Well, he's a citizen, and that's the thing. What is the price for the fame and for the money and everything else? And I feel like you still have the right to be a citizen. And part of what this book talks about is that very question, that marriage between your fame and being a citizen. I think there are a couple of essays in the book that really talk about my fear of this rising celebrity taking the place of policy. In terms of, okay, you have Kevin Durant and you have Jay-Z and Beyonce and everyone else paying for kids' colleges, but we're not really talking, you know, that's happening at the exact same time that we have political debates taking place right now about debt forgiveness and about free college.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's very important that we pay attention. I don't need Beyonce to save me. I think we need good policies.
What was the conversation that most surprised you writing the book?
I think the one that most surprised me was this idea of providing solutions. I think that people do, you know, I'm asking myself, okay, well, you're laying out in this book and all of these essays, all of these different issues that are troubling. is it your responsibility also then to provide solutions? People say, okay, well, what's the answer? And I think the liberating part of the book for me was recognizing that I don't really have to do that. The job for me was to lay out what I was feeling. And I think that that was sort of liberating, and also to say that I don't feel like the solutions are really that necessarily difficult, as long if we can step outside of ourselves just a tiny bit. I thought that the most fun part of it all was recognizing that you don't have to agree with everything, and yeah, you can still be a citizen.
A very good point in a book full of very good points. It's called Full Dissidence, Notes from an Uneven Playing Field, written by ESPN, the magazine senior writer Howard Bryant. Howard, thanks for being with us this morning. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right. Very good.